remain seated. The first part of the text which forms the basis for our three-part meditation this evening comes from Luke chapter 22, which we have already read, verses 19 and 20. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." This is the word of the Lord. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In the name of the Lamb who was slain and has begun his reign, dear fellow pilgrims, you may have at one time or another driven past a church and noticed this on the sign: 9 o'clock Bible study, 10 o'clock Holy Eucharist. What you may not be aware of is when they say Eucharist, they're referring to what we call communion. It comes from the Greek, Eucharisto, meaning give thanks. And we find it in our text when Jesus gives thanks and breaks bread. As the liturgy developed in the early church, it developed around the sacrament of the altar and around this concept of thanksgiving. Eventually, Holy Communion came to be called the Eucharist. And the liturgy reflects this as we hear songs and prayers of thanksgiving both before and after the distribution. As you look at your service folder, you'll notice these elements. Before communion, we have a prayer of thanksgiving. And then after communion, there is a post-communion collect, which also gives thanks. It is fitting, as we do in this liturgy, to give thanks to the Lord. As we say, it is meet and right so to do. The approach to the Lord's table is a prayerful, meditative movement. And yet, as we confess our sins to God, we shouldn't think that we're coming here in perpetual sorrow. Rather, this is a time to lift your hearts to the Lord. It is a time to prepare with thanksgiving, to receive with thanksgiving, and to depart with thanksgiving. The type of prayer that Jesus shares as he breaks bread would be known to the Jews as the Barakah. In English, we would translate the blessing. The people of Israel prayed in a very structured way in formal worship settings. They had three basic parts to their prayers. They had an address to God, a motivation for prayer, and a petition. You'll see this in many of our own prayers. For instance, on Sundays, many of our collects begin with an address. Then they speak of what God has done for us, the motive. And finally, they make a petition through Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns. Such a prayer could be called, you'll notice in such a prayer in our liturgy, the prayer of thanksgiving. It begins by addressing God. And so if you look at this prayer on page 7, "Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation." We might not necessarily be used to this idea of blessing God, but maybe we should be. The Psalms are full of blessings to God. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all your benefits." To bless God is to acknowledge him as the giver of all good gifts, the source of every blessing. For instance, when we sit down to eat, we are blessing God when we give thanks. We acknowledge that He's the one that gives us the food and the drink to sustain us in our daily life. How often is it the case, however, that we get so used to receiving these things on a daily basis that we begin to think we deserve them? We work hard. We're careful with our finances, with our planning, to take care of ourselves and our family. Food, clothing, and shelter sometimes become something we just get used to having. And how often is it even more so the case that we begin to think we deserve a night out to eat? Or we begin to expect to be able to watch cable TV? Or we begin to expect to have two cars and two bathrooms? In such expectations, we often forget who it is that gives us these benefits. And we lose reason to pray. If we've earned these things by our labor, then what is there to give thanks for? We really only have reason to give thanks to ourselves if we've earned it. And our flesh wants this, to look at our accomplishments and lose reason for Christ. Our flesh sees the work we labor for as what really sustains us. But what kind of life is that? It's merely earthly. It would not take much for God to take these things away, for the well to run dry, for the cupboards to be bare, and for our crops to be destroyed. But even more fearful than that is the thought of God's gifts of redemption being gone, for the word to run dry, for faith to be bare and destroyed, for our churches to be empty. Yes, there may be people in the pews, but what about being empty of the gospel and the sacrament's true meaning? However, Jesus gives thanks. He blesses God for the gift that He Himself is accomplishing because He knows in this evening where He's betrayed, He is handing Himself over to all the blessings God could ever give you. He brings the Passover into its fulfillment here, where He is the Lamb who is sacrificed. And when we deserve wrath and punishment, God gives life and salvation. He doesn't just sustain us with earthly things to get us through today. He gives us something eternal. This is the body given into death, the blood which was shed to pay for your sins. Tonight, Jesus gathers us as the host. He breaks bread, He lifts the cup to give us something heavenly. Paul speaks of this in 1 Corinthians when he says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." Paul calls it the cup of blessing, the same sense given in the Jewish barakah. Truly, this is a reason to acknowledge God as we approach, as we prepare, as we pray. The cup of blessing which we bless proves that Christ is with us, that the well will not run dry, that faith will not be destroyed, and that the church will not be empty, for God fills it. It is indeed good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks. As we said before, the Berakah consists of those three basic parts: the address, the motive, and the petition. That expression of motive is very important for you in your prayer life. What motivates you to be confident that your prayers will be answered? The expression of motive is meant to answer the question, why is God blessed and why do we call upon Him? So you see in our service folder how we indeed just prayed that motive when we said, "For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." This idea of blessing God and of motive is very fitting in the theology of our salvation. Before we can ask anything of God, he first comes to us, motivating us by what he's done in his Son, Jesus Christ. Before we can be given anything, he must freely offer it. It's more than just saying, "Hey, God." When we pray and when we confess our sins, confess our faith, we are very specific to note those things that God has done for us. This is what gives us confidence that he will hear our prayers. And this is how we receive the gift of the Lord's Supper tonight, by understanding what God has done and what he is doing for us right here. If we did not know the King of all creation as the one who's given his only Son for us, what confidence would we have? Indeed, when we look to ourselves, coming to the Lord's Supper is not a good feeling. It at times can be troubling, especially when we read the Apostle Paul say that whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. In the Old Testament, God set boundaries around himself, around his dwelling. And when these boundaries were crossed, people died. How can we, sinful human beings, approach this holy space? When Luther gave his explanation to the sacrament of the altar, he says, "A person is well prepared who has faith in these words, 'Given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins.'" The worthiness is not in us. It's not in our works. It's rather in our manner. That's what the apostle points out. The difference is not how what we've done, but in what Christ has done and what he's promised. It is the cup of the new covenant. Yes, under the old covenant, we could never come near God's dwelling. We'd be filled with sins. We've never kept the demands. But when Jesus gives us the new covenant, he gives us his blood to cleanse us from our sins. He gives us new boundaries where we are free to come to God with our prayers and to receive the gifts he's given us. We've made the address. We've had the motivation to ask God. And then the third part comes, our petition. We just made that petition when we said, "Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood." God has already answered your prayer, and he's going to demonstrate it as you come forward. In fact, he calls you forward simply by saying, "Take, eat, take, drink." And there's nothing more worthy that we can do than to say, "Thank you." I think that we can all agree there's good reason to say thank you. As children, we often need to be reminded. As adults, we could probably use reminding a little more often. As redeemed children of God, however, God has given us an eternal reminder. "Do this in remembrance of me." Think of Jesus saying, "Do this as my memorial." Or even more fitting, "Do this as my living memorial." Jesus is not dead. He is living. This means when we receive his memorial, when we receive his remembrance, he is active. He is present. He is giving us something. When we remember him, we are remembering the cross, receiving all its benefits. When you leave the Lord's table, do not think that you're walking away from Jesus to come back another time. You're taking him with you. We began this church season in December by considering those fitting words of the Nunc Dimittis. Let your servant depart in peace. We considered Simeon in the temple from Luke chapter 2. We've now journeyed 4 months into the church year. We've seen this helpless baby Jesus in the arms of his parents grow into the helpless Jesus in the arms of the cross. This evening, tomorrow, and Resurrection Sunday, we truly see the culmination of all that Simeon spoke. We see the Lord's salvation, which he's prepared before his face of his people. The light and glory of God has come to us in the humble, suffering, innocent Jesus, who gives every aspect of his life for you. And in word and sacrament, God is calling to remembrance all these things, giving you what Jesus did. There are times when we basically need to be forced into saying thank you, but this is not one of those times. Having your flesh crucified with Christ means you've left behind the coercion of the law. Being under the new covenant means God's Spirit is with you, with a new heart to give thanks freely, to continually gather time and time again here to remember and receive these gifts. As the writer of the Hebrews says, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The Latin title for this day is Maundy Thursday. Not Monday Thursday, but Maundy Thursday. And it comes from the Latin meaning commandment. This comes from John chapter 13, where Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so also you love one another. The setting in which Jesus gives this commandment of love is washing his disciples' feet. That is the example set before us. That is the motivation for our every act. Thanksgiving offering. And thanksgiving is not just in words, it is in actions that reflect the one who saved us, that sees this fellowship of believers not as a bunch of individual human beings, but as brothers, sisters, and a family. In the next 3 days, you should see this whole worship setting as one continuous reception. You enter to the joy of the resurrection as if entering into a Eucharist that has no end. As we sit down to eat, as we rise to go to work, as we play, we are always giving thanks because God is with us, blessing us, protecting us. Yes, truly, the Eucharist is thanksgiving. Amen.